This is a production of the ZTalk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Wow. It's dark. Well, let's have some light on the subject.
Put on your critical thinking caps and please refrain from hugging. It's time for Dimland Radio with your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons.
Hello and welcome to Dimland Radio here on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I am your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Remember, I'm not really a doctor. I just play doctor online. Okay, so last week I dropped a little bomb on you at the end of the show. I don't know if it was a bomb exactly. That might be an exaggeration, but it might not be something you would expect from me. I said I was going to go, Amy's my wife. Amy and I are going to go on the 80s cruise. Next spring. I told you about the one boss I have. His reaction was, what could possibly appeal to you about going on a cruise? And what I said last week was, well, not much, really. If it were not for the existence of the podcast Stuck in the 80s, if it were not for that, and the fact that I'm, you know, friends, put a slight quotes up there. I mean, I'm friends with the hosts of the show, and one of the contributors to the show that is sometimes a guest co-host on there. I'm friends with them, and if it weren't for that, if the Stuck in the 80s podcast had ended years ago before the Stuck in the 80s cruise began, I would have, if I'd heard of the 80s cruise, I would have thought, not for me. I'm not into the cruise. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it would appeal to me. And that's kind of how I've kept it. But because the Stuck in the 80s podcast continued to exist, and they became affiliated with the 80s cruise, I started thinking, maybe. I mean, I was asked about it, but this was back in the days when we didn't have any money. And not saying that we got tons of money now, but we're okay-ish because of selling our house and all that. But we need to, we need to be not too flamboyant with the money. But this is, we're doing a big trip in September, which, by the way, when I mentioned that we were doing this big trip in September, which we're going to England, Scotland, and Ireland, meeting up with somebody that I've known on the internet in Scotland, I'm also going to meet up with somebody that I've known on the internet. He's a member of the Gooch Squad, or as I like to call them, the Perineum Posse. Easy for me to say. Oh, hang on. Let me get my dentures back in. All right. Okay, well, let's try that again. Or as I like to call them, the Perineum Posse. Anyway. Yeah, that just killed that joke. Just killed it. Anyway, one of the fellas, Jeff, he reached out to me because he heard last week's show, and he said, hey, if you're going to be near, I'm assuming you're going to be in London for at least part of it, and it's true. So I said, I was going to get a hold of you and let you know that, yeah, we're going to be going there. Let's see if we can figure something out. So there's another person over there, and that's not the reason for doing this trip over there. I just want to go to those places. This is an added bonus to be able to meet a couple of friends that I have not met face to face. Only know these people through internet. You know, I've done Skype conversations with Jeff. When I see his face, he sees mine. But we've not met each other. In person. You know what I mean? And it's kind of the same thing with the Stuck in the 80s group, and then them being affiliated with the 80s cruise. So that's why. And then we have a little money, and I thought, well, hon, what do you think? And she said, yeah, that'd be cool. And I'm getting all kinds of advice from the Facebook groups that I joined. There's the one called 80s Cruise Meet and Greet. Now, You're only allowed to be a member of it if you are going on the cruise. They don't accept you if you're not. If you're just going to come in there and just look at the conversations or, you know, try to contribute, but, you know, they don't want it. Just, you got to be going on the cruise to be able to be part of the group. And so I went in, asked for any advice, and lots of advice would come in, and I'll get to that in a little bit. So I was going to talk a bit more about the attractions of this particular cruise. Over the years, what they do is they get musical acts from the 80s, largely known for their 80s output, and they perform. Each act does two shows, so you get a chance to see everybody. But there's lots of activities and things, so that's, you know, one of the things that, of the advice that I got was, you know, don't feel like you have to do everything, because you're not going to be able to. Pick and choose what you're going to do. Listen to the, you know, they announce the day's itinerary or something. They do that, the cruise people, and just kind of plan your day accordingly. Plan things out accordingly. And just do what you can. Be as involved in it as you want. They have a costume contest. They say, do the costume contest if you want, or don't do it. Wear costumes if you want. Don't wear costumes. It's up. You do you was one of the main bits of advice. Just have a good time. Anyway, so they have these musical acts that are on there. So let's see. I wrote down not all of them, but some of the ones that I definitely will want to see. There's Squeeze, Adam Ant, Sheila E., and Men at Work. Now, Men at Work is pretty much just Colin Hay with a band that he's put together. But still, I'd like to see Colin Hay. Those are bands that I'd be interested in seeing. And then there's The Alarm. They're one of the, they're not one of the headliners, if that's such a thing, but they're one of the bands that's included. But I'm mildly interested in seeing Christopher Cross. You know, his songs were okay, not quite my thing, but I guess he's a heck of a guitarist and might be an interesting show to watch Christopher Cross play. There's Andy Bell of the band Erasure. My wife is interested in seeing them, so obviously we'll go see that. There's Curtis Blow, which I only know the name. I don't know if I know anything. I'm going to do some looking into it. Might be interesting. And Information Society. That's a Minneapolis band. That's right. And I never did see them. I think there was one time we were going to go see them. A friend of mine, my friend John and I, we hung out a lot together after high school, went to all kinds of concerts and things. I think we were going to, but we just didn't end up going in because I don't know why. I think that was Information Society. I think that's who it was. But we didn't end up seeing them. Anyway. And then there's the acts that I there's two acts in there that I'm completely not interested in seeing at all. One, Quiet Riot, which is essentially a Slade tribute band because they had two hits, right? I mean, really, one for sure, and it was a cover of they were cover of Slade songs, if I'm not mistaken. And besides, the lead singer guy died, and that lead singer guy. Oh, I remember back in the day when Quiet Riot was the flavor of the month of the hair metal bands, which was ironic because the lead singer guy was losing his hair. Later on, he got this luxurious wig, but you know, hey, you know, you do. He does what he does. It's fine. I'm not, you know, but it's just for a hair band. Anyway, and it's just, and it was not my kind of music. I didn't care for hair metal. It just was vapid nonsense as far as I was concerned. I just didn't, you know, it was just, hey, let's party. Let's sing about how great rock and roll is. Let's sing about how great the girls are. And then we'll have like a power ballad about how much we love somebody. And that's all they did. A lot of wheedly, 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 neener, neener, neener guitar solos. Just didn't do anything for me. Just not my thing. It was just empty calories. It wasn't meaningful music, as I was into at the time. So anyway, Quiet Riot, not interested. Musical Youth, they had like one song, right? And I hated that song. I hated that song when I was a kid. It's the Pass the Dutchie on the Left-Hand Side, whatever the hell that means. Is it a pot reference? I think it's a pot reference, but I don't know. I'm square. What do I know? And then it's got that, you know, the little kid voices, and sometimes they can bother me in songs, and they, meeny, 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 me. Meeny, 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 me. That's what I hear when I think of that stupid-ass song. Now, my wife is kind of interested in seeing them, so who knows? We'll be on a cruise, and maybe a what the hell, you know? It might be a what the hell moment, but if there's something better going on at that moment, well, you know, come on, hon. But if she really wants to see, well, you know, she's my wife. Make her happy, you know. But the most interested act I'm most interested in seeing on this cruise, right up there is Squeeze. They're right up there. And Men at Work and Sheila E., they're right up there being, I really would like to see them and be able to say that I saw them perform. Yeah, even though it might not be all the original members, like I can say with the Replacements and Husker Du, I saw all the original members of the Replacements play in concert. I saw it twice. I know I'm a piker compared to some people that were watching the Replacements back in the day in the Twin Cities. They were going, they would see them like a, you know, half a dozen times a year. But I saw them twice, and with the original lineup of the band, I did, and I saw Husker Du, you know, that's all I can say, you know, I saw them. But I could still say that I've seen Squeeze and Sheila E., and that's cool, and I like that idea, and I'm interested in hearing their music, and I like a lot of Squeeze's stuff. I don't know a lot of Sheila E.'s work, but I do admire her talent and abilities and all that kind of stuff. And Men at Work, I like a few of their songs, and Colin Hay's cool. And so anyway, but there's this other band on that list. Now, this was the way they do the 80s cruise. The 80s cruise sponsors the Stuck in the 80s podcast. So all year long, you hear ads for the Stuck in the 80s or the 80s cruise. You just hear it all the time. And they'll tell you the lineup and all that kind of stuff. And what they do is, once that cruise is taking place, like for this past March, when the cruise happened, first day of the cruise, the cruise people announce who the artists they've got booked for the next year's cruise. Just to plant that seed in the minds of everybody that's on there. That next year, we've got these artists. So, okay. So they did that. And then listening to the Stuck in the 80s podcast, when they did their show after the cruise, they give the lineup of what's coming up next year on the show. And Steve Spears, the host of the show, is reading through the list of these band names, and he's getting down, they start at Squeeze, and they work their way down. And one, I think it was the last act that they mentioned, that he mentioned in there, I think it was, because then it gets and there are others that haven't been booked yet, or that haven't been, you know, that we can't announce yet because it's not, the paperwork hasn't been signed. He said, The Jam. And I looked at my wife, we were driving into work, we're listening, I said, The Jam? Did he say The Jam? And she said, I think he said The Jam. So we backed it up, we listened to it again, and he says, The Jam. And I said, that doesn't seem possible that The Jam would be playing, because I mean, Paul Weller. Oh, okay, let me explain who The Jam are. The Jam was a mod band, you know, the mods and rockers from old the 60s England, cultural kids stuff kind of things. There were mods and rockers. Mods were big into fashion and popping speed pills, and they were into certain kinds of music and scooter and having these Vespa scooters, and there was a whole image around there. The rockers were more into the Elvis kind of stuff and wearing leather jackets and motorcycles and Harley Davidson stuff, you know. They were more like that. So the mods had their bands that they really liked, and The Who, my favorite band, was one of those bands an early manager of The Who said, you guys really are something with the mods, so I need, we should really cater to the mod idea, the mods, so, because they're your base kind of thing. And the Jam was heavily influenced by The Who, the early years of The Who, heavily influenced in their music, but a little more edgy, a little more clangy in the guitars, a little, you know, just a little more punk if you will, because they came out, the band came together during that UK punk movement that started in like 76. I think the band put out its first album in 77, album called In the City. And they were they're a power trio. You know, it's Paul Weller was the leader of the band, and then there's bass. He played guitar and wrote most of the songs, sings most of the songs, and then there's Bruce Foxton, writes some songs and sings some of the songs. He's the bass player, and then there was Rick Buckler, who was the drummer, and Rick Buckler, not to be confused with Rich Buckler, who was an artist in comic books back in the 70s and 80s. So anyway. So the Jam were big in the UK. They didn't really go over in the United States. They did a tour of the States and didn't. Paul wasn't too thrilled with the reception and all that. He didn't. You know, he's come around on America now, but just wasn't all that big. And he met Pete Townsend, and Townsend's telling him about, you know, oh, America's great. You want to be big in America? And Paul was like, yeah, I don't know, dude. But anyway. But they had a kind of a friendship or something, I guess. But in 1980, I think it was 82, something like that, early 80s, Paul decided, I'm done with the Jam. I'm done. And just unceremoniously ended the band without really consulting the other two members of the band. And I guess there was some acrimony there for a while. But as time went on... let's see, there was years where Bruce Foxton wasn't too thrilled with Paul Weller, but I think they reconciled, because some years ago, I don't know, I think in the 2000s or something like that, Paul Weller put out this song called "Wake Up the Nation," and Bruce Foxton plays bass on that song, so they got things together. But it seemed weird when I heard the Jam are going to be playing this. Because Paul Weller is touring, he's touring on his own. That doesn't seem like it doesn't seem possible. In fact, he's going to be here in Minneapolis when Amy and I are over in the UK. So we're going to miss Paul Weller here. I have seen Paul Weller in concert. I got comp tickets from the best bartender at First Avenue, a fellow named Pete. My friend John and I would hang out at First Avenue all the time. And one time we were getting our beers. Pete knew what we wanted. He put the beers up. He saw us approaching. He grabs our beers, puts them on the bar. And then he pushes across two comp tickets to see Paul Weller in concert at First Avenue. That was awesome. So we didn't have to pay to see him. So anyway, so I've seen Paul Weller. But then the band broke up. Paul Weller went on to form a band called The Style Council, and then after they ended their thing, he went on and he did his own stuff. And Bruce Foxton went and did some of his own stuff. And at some point, the drummer, Rick Buckler, started a band called From the Jam, which was essentially, I guess you could call it, a tribute band to the Jam with a member of the Jam in the band. And at some point, Bruce Foxton joined in with them. So there were two members, two-thirds of the Jam, plus other musicians, would tour and play music by the Jam. And then at some point, I guess Rick, you know, he left the band. So now it's From the Jam with Bruce Foxton. And I think I would have loved if Rick was still with the band, but Bruce Foxton is pretty good to see him. And that's... I heard that. That kind of pushed me even closer. Geez, I could see Bruce Foxton. I mean, I could see him play. That would be cool. So, of all the bands, and I was asked by one of my friends that I'm going to meet on this cruise, that I'm going to meet in person. He said, "What artists are you biggest most interested in?" I said, "You're not going to believe this, but it's From the Jam. I want to see Bruce Foxton." Yeah, like I said, Squeeze and Sheila E. Yeah. And Colin Hay, sure, but it's Bruce Foxton for me. So hopefully, everything works and everything goes. I do, you know me. You know that I tend to worry. I always find things to worry about. And it hit me the other day, what I have to worry about this trip. There's probably a few things, but like one of them is, what if the band drops out and I don't even get to see them? And that's one of the reasons I went. But... That's not a big worry. The worry I have is it's in March, early March. And I live in Minnesota. And we know it can happen in March in Minnesota. We can get snowstorms. And it's just, it better not be a goddamn snowstorm that keeps our flight from getting out of here so we can get down to Florida, down to Miami, so we can get on the cruise. So that's my worry now. It's not going to keep me up nights. It's going to be a low-grade worry. But as we get closer to departure, I'm going to be looking at the weather map to say, what does it look like? What does it look like? Because if we're a couple few days out and it looks like it's going to be bad, we're renting a fucking truck and we're driving down there. Sorry about the F. Anyway, so that's the thinking behind going on the 80s cruise. I did say to Steve Spears, that's the host of the show, when I told him that it was going, he said he thought I was the anti-cruise guy, and I said, people change. So anyway, I think I'm up to my first break. Am I up to my first break already? Good Lord. I'm up to my first break. So you are listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. Unless, of course, you're listening to this in a podcast and you're just listening wherever you're listening. But I will be back. After this break. Let me hit the button. Here we go. I'll be back.
Station's not your cup of tea.
Then drink coffee!
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 Drink coffee!
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guarantee.
But you might say that.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Professor Dave. I want to teach you about all kinds of things regarding science. I want to tell you about physics. I want to tell you about chemistry, biology, astronomy, math, and many, many more things. Come check me out on YouTube. The channel is called Professor Dave Explains. Take it easy.
He knows a lot about the science stuff. Professor Dave Explains.
Hey, I almost forgot. It's time for... It's quiz time on Dimland Radio. Everybody got your pens ready? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question here. It's a multiple choice answer. Can you name the person who said this? That's why I don't eat friggin' lobster or anything like that, because they're alive when you kill it. Was that A, Mahatma Gandhi, B, Jane Goodall, C, Albert Einstein, or D, Snooky? This has been Quiz Time on Dimland Radio.
Hey, this is Danny Potts from the Kentucky Ghost Chasers, and you're listening to ZTalk Radio.
Welcome back to Dimland Radio here in the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Coming out of the break there, that bumper was by Pixies. It's a song called Broken Face off their album Surferosa, which I forget the year that came out, sometime in the 80s. I bring that up because the bass player for Pixies left at some point and became... I think the Pixies broke up, and she went on to form a band called The Breeders. She was also in a band called The Amps, but The Breeders was the one that sort of got more of a thing. And apparently, The Breeders are coming through the Twin Cities when Amy and I are over in the UK, and we would have really liked to see The Breeders. That would have been really cool. But you know, who knows? Maybe they'll come by again. The Pixies are back together, but they don't have Kim Deal with them. She decided to not come back when the Pixies reformed some years ago. So, What are you going to do? As I said, when talking about the 80s cruise, I have been getting lots of advice. People saying, you do you, mainly. Dress up as much as you want. And then there was some advice about, you know, you can decorate the door to your cabin. Get some magnets, you know, magnets on hooks so you can hang things up and things like, you know, like that. I don't know how big we're going to go, but I have an idea of something I might try. But we'll see. So, okay, I'll tell you. What I think I might do is there's a website where they have... It's for Club Degenerate, which was Tuesday nights at First Avenue from about 1984, 85 through 1990 or so. And every Tuesday night, it was a dance night. It was pre-recorded music. They would have some cameo acts play here and there. I think I saw a very early version of Babes in Toyland on a Club Degenerate night. A very early version of that, where they were a four-piece band and they had a lead singer. It wasn't Cat. It was this gal named Cindy Russell. And I was kind of friends with her then. We'd hang out, sort of. She and I and my friend John would sort of hang together a little bit at First Avenue on those Tuesday nights. And so she's up there, and we met the bass player of the band and all that. Anyway, she got booted from the band because Steve Albini of the band Big Black, and a big-time producer who produced one of Nirvana's albums. I don't want to say Nirvana because I like to say that, but it's Nirvana. Produced their In Utero album. He had heard their tape, and he said, yeah, lose the lead singer because he didn't like her voice. Anywho, there would be First Avenue put out these flyers, which would have on one side there'd be the calendar for the month and all the bands and the, you know, what special nights were going to be coming up and for that month, and on the other side it would have some, you know, like a poster for one of the bands, and for Club Degenerate they would have these creepy, unusual, cool things that somebody would put together, these little images that they put together for Club Degenerate. So I'm going to see if I can find, maybe not just the Club Degenerate stuff, but see if I can find how many of the, from the 80s, how many months I can find on this. There's a website, I'll try to find it again, and print out these flyers, put those on the outside of the door, so it'll show you what was going on those months in the 80s at First Avenue. I'm also planning on some shirts that I'll wear. I wear all black kind of a guy. For the cruise, I'm going to be wearing colorful shirts, but I'm going to have cool, mostly Minneapolis bands, logos and such on the fronts of the shirts. And I'll have some black shirts too for evening wear, you know. Anyway, so that's kind of my plan. But one of the things that somebody brought up was Dramamine. Because you're on a ship out on the ocean. Who knows? Are you going to be affected by movement like that? Are you prone to motion sickness kind of thing? My wife actually had vertigo after a pretty serious car accident she was in when she was in her 20s or something, and so she had suffered some vertigo for a while after that, and she still has, I think, a little touch of it here and there, not so bad, but a little bit. And so, you know, Dramamine. Yeah, good idea. Because one person advised, you know, start taking it like a day or two before the cruise, and then just each day on the cruise, just take a Dramamine, and that should get you through. Just in case. And that brought in something that a person came in and said, or you could try C-bands. They really worked for me, kind of a thing. And C-bands. What is C band? So I looked it up. It's a band that you wear around your wrist. It's fairly tight. It has some sort of a bead or something that presses on the inside of your wrist. So it's acupressure. So it's bullshit. Acupressure, much like acupuncture, is bullshit. What do I say on this show? What is the maximum or whatever? The answer is never magic. C-bands, you know, they may have the placebo effect. You put it on there, and you think you feel less nauseous, and maybe that helps you feel less nauseous. Yeah, it's what you eat when you're sick. You eat some nauseages. Nauseous. It might do that. And as far as that goes, I guess okay. I guess, but it's not going to work for me. And I mentioned it to my wife, and she said, "Oh yeah, I tried those when she was having her vertigo problem." I mean, after the accident. So it didn't do a thing for me. And I said, well, yeah, they wouldn't, because it's acupressure, and acupressure is bullshit. And although the placebo effect can work for some people, I'm doing something, so I guess I feel better. I don't know. So I saw that. I did not say anything in the comments. I didn't say, that's acupressure, and that's bullshit. I didn't do that. I was asking people advice. This is something somebody said. Thank you. I'll take it under advisement. But I think the Dramamine has a proven record. But I'll look into that too. I don't know. That's something to be concerned with. If you get motion sickness in a car, if you get that kind of happening, it doesn't generally happen to the person that's driving the car, because the person driving the car has control on it and is watching the horizon, you know, is watching ahead. And somebody that's riding in the car, trying to read a book maybe, trying to take a nap, they're not watching as much, and they don't have the control of the car. So motion sickness can happen, car sickness can happen for them if they're someone that might be prone to it. I've never had that problem. I've done road trips before and just never had that problem. So, I don't know. I've never been on a cruise ship. I've been on, like, tour boats going across, Lake Superior and places like that. But, and by the way, when we go to the UK and we go up to Scotland, I'm pretty sure the itinerary says we're going to take a boat tour on Loch Ness. And I've mentioned this to people, and they say, "Oh, are you going to look for the monster?" And I say, "No. I'm going to check out that ruined abbey or whatever castle, or whatever it is on the shore, at part along the lake there, lake, whatever. I'm going to check that out. I'm just going to look around, and I'm going to watch all these people going, "Oh, maybe we'll see Nessie. Maybe we'll see Nessie." And I say, "Oh, want to bet $5? You don't want to bet?" You know, from everybody on the boat. So you want to bet you don't? Want to bet you don't? Because, well, you know why? Because there's a skeptic here. And a skeptic keeps ghosts away, and keeps demons away, and keeps, you know, Bigfoot away, and keeps all that stuff away. Because they never show up when a skeptic's around, because a skeptic will say, "Well, you know, did you think that maybe this is that?" You know, it's like the balloon thing last week. "Look at that balloon floating across the ceiling and going across. Oh, my goodness." And the skeptic would say, "Yeah, there's air currents in here. Of course it's moving around. It's not a ghost pulling it around. It's just air currents in the building." "Oh, you skeptics ruin everything." Yeah, I know. We pooped the party. It's an occupational hazard being a skeptic. I often lament about it. I wish I could join in, but I don't know. It just seems so silly to believe in magic. Yeah, that's because the answer is never magic. It's never magic. So, you know, C bands pressing on your wrist isn't going to do anything, except for, you know, if I got carpal tunnel, it might make my hands tingle. I do. I have carpal tunnel on both wrists. Not too bad. I wear little hand guards, wrist guards to bed, so that keeps me from curling my hands in. That's people tend to do that when they sleep, they curl their hands in. And if you do that, it cuts off the little nerve thing there, and that causes your hands to tingle, and it can cause some damage. So far, I don't need surgery. Anyway, so that's the deal there. So yeah, you know, the pseudoscience finds its way into everything. There's going to be somebody. There was somebody on the Facebook that shared a food babe thing. I was wondering what happened to the food babe. The food babe who won't eat anything she can't pronounce. Okay. And it's, you know, there's this chemical that's used in the production of bread that Subway uses, that's used, or an ingredient in the production of bread that Subway uses, that's also used in making yoga mats. Well, of course, you know, that got out by, because food babe, you know, doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. And she puts that out there, and then she had enough influence at the time that Subway took that ingredient out of the bread. And it's an ingredient, and I can't remember what it's called. It's an ingredient that makes the dough softer, it makes it rise better, and it's it gives it it's a softer feel to it. That's what it's for. And I guess maybe it does the same thing in yoga mats. I don't know. But you know what else they use in the production of yoga mats that they use in the production of bread at Subway? Water. I mean, it's just, yeah. So anyway, somebody on my Facebook page shares this image that shows a version of Quaker Oats that's sold in America and a version that's sold in the UK. And the UK version has very simple ingredients. And of course, the thing is called Oats So Simple or something like that. And it's meant to be like Breyers ice cream. Breyers ice cream sells that they have very few ingredients and they're all very easy to read and all that stuff. Whereas Blue Bunny might have some ingredients that, oh, that sounds dangerous. Ooh, I can't pronounce that. And then they have, you know, so in this food babe thing was shared, has, the American Quaker Oats thing has all these ingredients that sound scary. And people were responding saying, well, that is just another way of saying vitamin, you know, B6. And that is just another way of saying this thing. And this is just like, yeah. And then I said, you know, the poison's in the dose. I brought that up. You know, have enough of this natural stuff that's easy to pronounce. Have enough of it. It can poison you. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Man, throat gets dry. What can you do? Anyway, you can cough. That happens. Oh, I could have a sip of a beverage. But anyway, so I saw that, and it's just, and I, oh, Jesus Christ. Other people got into it. I didn't want to go more than just saying, you know, the poison's in the dose. And the person says, yeah, I agree. But, you know, there should be no canola oil. Boy, I'm having trouble with words today. I'm telling you, the effordent, it's not, or my dentures adhesive isn't working very well. No, I don't have dentures. Maybe someday. We can hope. We can dream. Anyway, I can reach for those stars. Anyway, it's that canola oil shouldn't be in there, or peanut oil, or all these oils, you know, that use machine lubricant stuff. And it's like, you know what else they use to, in machine, that's part of, you know, to lubricate machines, they'll use water. They, you know, they use that to cool it. And there's water. He's like, we should probably not have water then. I keep going back to this. There's simple things that are part of what we make. We don't eat yoga mats, but we do eat bread. And it's not, you know, it's, I don't know what the point is. We all seem to be living. We all seem to be doing okay. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a food expert, but I thought the food babe had kind of faded away, that her light had turned off and nobody was paying attention to her anymore, but apparently this stuff still goes around. And yeah, it's there. Should have maybe gotten Sci Babe, the science babe, who kind of came to prominence by refuting all the nonsense that Food Babe was putting out. Yeah, so she came to prominence, or maybe she's got a response to this meme. I'll look for it, but I don't know. Anyway, I hadn't planned on talking about that, but it came to mind. So I didn't poop the party by saying, yeah, the C-bands are probably bullshit. let's see. I think I'll take my next break. Let's do that. And then I can have a sip of this stuff and help undry my throat. Isn't that a song? Undry my throat. No, that's not a song. Anyway, I'll be back. You're listening to Dim Line Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. And as I said just a second ago or so, I'll be back.
Come on, pillow.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you think Bigfoot is real? Do you suspect that your neighbor is really Val Tor, leader of the lizard people of Bendar 3? Well, Dr. Dim doesn't, and he'll tell you why when you tune into Dimland Radio Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern on Z-Talk Radio Network. It's an hour of science promotion, pop culture rants, personal observation, and of course, skepticism. Join Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern for Dimland Radio on Z-Talk Radio Network. He's endlessly pushing the rock of reason up the hill of paranormal. It's Dr. Dim, and you're listening to Dimland Radio on Z-Talk Radio Network.
Get him some Z's. Get him some Z's. Get him some Z's. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Listen to Z-Talk Radio on ztalkradio.com.
And welcome back to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. People may be suffering. I'll say it again. Sorry. This is your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Let's see. There's a cool thing. This is a really cool thing. I saw this on the national news. National news here in America. United States. I don't know where you are. You may not have seen this if you're not in the United States. But on the national news, there was a story that... That happened in St. Paul, Minnesota, which is where I live. I live in St. Paul, Minnesota. Don't look for me. And I don't want you showing up on my doorstep. Okay? Just know that. I'm not going to let you in. Anyway, during the evening rush hour, a fellow was driving his SUV and not sure how it happened, why it happened, whatever. Fell asleep at the wheel, maybe. Who knows? He lost control of his vehicle, went off the road, he hit a light post, and then came to a stop on the inside of a guardrail where he's the only one in the vehicle, and he's trapped in his vehicle. He can't get out on the driver's side because the guardrail's right there. His car, having hit the light post, knocking it down, his car ignited into flames. So here's this SUV on the side of the road behind the guardrails on fire, and a guy is trapped in there. He can't get up. Can't get his window down because I guess the power's out in the car, so he can't get the window down because, you know, that's one of the drawbacks of an electric window. You can't roll it down. It's if the power's off, that's up. And that's the end. So passers-by. People driving on the way home or to wherever, they stopped and got out of their cars and ran over to help get the guy out of his vehicle. And there's video of it. One guy, he's got these dash cams and stuff on his car. He's got a lot of cameras around his car. And he's had it parked and running, apparently, and the cameras are going. And the cameras are picking up all this stuff. And then I think there were other people around that had their cameras trained on what was going on there. And you see at least half a dozen people just trying to, there's three or four guys just pulling on that driver's side door, just trying to open it, while there's another couple of guys, you know, pulling at the guardrail to try to pull down the guardrail so they can get the door open. Another guy comes by with, you know, something, tries to break the passenger side window or the driver's side window, tries to break that, but that doesn't work. So they're just trying and trying to get this guy out of there. When a highway helper, there's these pickup trucks that have all kinds of, I guess, tools to help work on cars, and that go around the highway system here in the Twin Cities, and it may be similar in your neck of the woods. And there was one that was coming by. I don't know if they were alerted to it or if just circumstance. But they pulled over, and I guess there's you can pop a window open if you have like a hard piece of a piece of metal with a point, and you can and you just smack at the window with the point of metal, and that should burst the window open. Just smash it, or so that's what they ended up doing. And they brought the guy out by feet first. I don't know why they did it that way, but there was a nurse who had pulled over, and she's kind of directing stuff. They're like, don't go try to get him out on the passenger side. Well, they couldn't get him out on the passenger side because the flames were, the fire was burning up that side most at that point, and it's on the grass. It's burning the grass around there. So they couldn't get at it. So they had to work from the street side where they could, and every now and then the flames would burst, and they'd have to all back away, and then they when the flames died down enough, they'd go back and try to get the guy out. So anyway, they got the window busted open. They get him out feet first. They carry him across. The guy is not seriously hurt at all. He's taken to a local hospital, and they check him out and everything. But these people just, they didn't care that, they just saw a moment where that this person needed help. And it's this thing that is said by people so often, when they're interviewing some of them after this event had happened, and they're talking to the one fellow in particular, that had all the cameras, and he was, I think he may have been the first person to pull over, but people pulled over right away to help. And one of the people interviewed just said, well, I don't feel like a hero. I was just I'm just glad I was able to be there and help. I don't feel like a hero. That is something that's said so often when somebody does something heroic, that after the event they say, I don't feel like a hero. I just did what I could do. It's like people must not know what it feels like to be a hero when they're even when they've done something heroic. But that must be a feeling we don't know. I don't know what it feels like to be a hero. I don't exactly. I mean, I wouldn't say I've done heroic things, but I've come out to help people. A dog was attacking another dog outside the house, and the woman that was walking her dog that was being attacked. I threw my boots on. It was in winter. Run across the street to try to help. And I did what I could. But the owner of the dog that was doing the attacking had come up and had pulled her dog off and was holding it down and all that by the time I even got across the street. But, it doesn't make me a hero. I don't know. I was willing to help. But I don't know. It's interesting. So, it's a cool thing, and it's an encouraging thing that humanity might have a chance. that there's some moments where you say that was good for humanity. These people didn't care about who the guy was in the car. They didn't care about how it is how it happened. They made no judgment calls. Is that they just said themselves, that person needs help and I can help and I'm going to help. And that's what they did. And it was a diverse group of people, men and women. People of color, white folks. And I think one of the guys, the guy that was being interviewed, I think it's possible, I detected a slight bit of accent to his voice. I might be wrong, but I think he might be an immigrant. What do you know? It's like, ain't that America? That's awesome. It's just, none of these people cared about any of that. There was a guy that needed help, and they stopped and they went and helped. And that's pretty cool. And what was also, why I bring it up, part of the reason I bring it up is because it happened here. And I drive on that stretch of 94. It was on Highway 94. It was near the Snelling Avenue exit. I tend to drive on 94, drive that stretch every day of the week to go to work. But I don't tend to come back on 94. At the end of the day, we take a slower, less hectic route home at the end of the day. Because it's so we go westbound on 94, and I was trying, after I heard this story, I was looking for where this had happened, and I couldn't find it on the westbound side, but on the eastbound side, that's where it had happened. So tonight, when I leave the store here, Nostalgia Zone, and I head home, I'm going to see if I can spot where it happened. I think I know where it might be, but I might not. I'll see if I can spot it, where it happened, because it should be easy to see, because there's a bunch of blacked out grass that got all burned up, and the fire department came out and took care of that. But yeah, that's pretty cool, and it just shows that you know, maybe there's a hope for human beings yet. Maybe we'll get it figured out. I don't. There may have been a variety of religions involved in there. Hey, maybe an atheist was there. Maybe. We can hope. But it's a cool thing. I think it's awesome. I'll put a Good Morning America had done a piece on it. I found that on YouTube. So I'll link that to the show notes. Go to dimland.com. Click on the show notes blog option, and you'll get to this week's show notes. I'll try to remember to have that up there so that you can check out that video and see it. And these people who were heroes, whether they think of themselves as heroes or not, and certainly the man that they saved thinks of them as heroes. So it's a pretty cool thing. You remember the this is kind of a movie recommendation. Remember the King Kong film from, I think it came out in 76, 77, something like that. It starred Jeff Bridges and Charles Grodin, and introduced to the world the actor Jessica Lange. And I bring it up because last week when I was here at the comic book store. Oh, by the way, I'm recording this in the basement. I wasn't here last week. That's right. I was in the basement at home. I didn't work in 2 weeks ago when I worked at Nostalgia Zone. Anyway, that's just for those of you keeping score at home. I'm back in the basement at Nostalgia Zone, which is a comic book store in Minneapolis. It's on Lake Street, 3535 Lake Street. You can go to our website at nostalgiazone.com. You can become a member of our membership. You'll save 10% on your purchases, and you'll earn points that save you more money on future purchases if you're a member. And we sell comic books and magazines, mostly comic books is our main thing. I'm in the basement surrounded by comic books. On just about, yeah, every side of me, there are some comic books. So we have back issues only. We don't have the new books as they come out. We get them eventually, but or some of them anyway. We do back issues. We go all the way back to Golden Age, but we have a lot of Silver Age and Bronze Age stuff. Just check out our website, nostalgiazone.com. Become a member. Buy some comic books. Keep us in business. Let's go. Anyway, so that's the ad for Nostalgia Zone. But when I was here a couple weeks ago, I spotted a magazine called Saga, or Saga, depending on how you say it. And I spotted it because the cover has that famous movie poster illustration for the King Kong movie from 1976, or 77, one of those years. It has the famous movie poster. It's got King Kong straddling the World Trade Center. He's holding a jet plane all crashed up in one hand, and he's got Jessica Lange in the other hand, and there's some helicopters and jets flying around him. And, it's a very famous poster, or at least it was for a while. The artist is a fellow named John Berkey, who is from Minnesota, which is just, it's nice. It's a nice bit. And it's a really cool illustration. John Berkey does a lot of stuff I don't think he's alive anymore, but he did a lot of space scenes, spaceships battling each other, orbiting planets, space stations, and that kind of stuff. He would do book covers with that. He did an illustration for, I guess, the novelization of Star Wars, the first movie Star Wars. And it's a pretty cool one. He has this great style, just really great style. One thing always bugged me about the King Kong illustration is the mouth. King Kong's mouth does not look like any kind of mouth that a gorilla would have. I even looked at images on Google of gorillas baring their teeth with the mouth wide open, and it just does not form that way. But who cares? It looks cool. It's a cool poster. It looks great. The article they had in there was focusing on the robot that was built for the movie. I remember as a kid hearing about this movie about to come out, and they would talk about how there's going to be this robot. It's going to have, you know, it's and the image I had in my mind as a kid was that this robot was going to do all the walking around and climbing the buildings, that kind of thing. That they were going to have the robot doing that. Well, the robot only shows up in the movie for about 30 seconds, if that. Because all the rest of the time, it's a guy in a suit, an ape suit, a really nicely done ape suit. It's Rick Baker, the makeup artist, a very world famous makeup film makeup artist. But he's, I believe, he's playing the ape. You know, he's playing Kong in the movie. And there's some moments in that movie where Kong, it's a little overlong, but it could be a little shorter. But it's still great. I have it on DVD. Charles Grodin is just chews the scenery in his acting. I love him in it. Jeff Bridges is great in the way. He's great in just about everything he does. Jessica Lange is fine. She plays Dwan. She's kind of hot. You know, she's this chick that got thrown off the of an exploding yacht or something, and she ended up in a little life raft, and they find her somehow. They do, on this ship as they're going out to find Kong. Well, they don't know they're going to find Kong. Well, they find Kong, they bring him back to America, they put him on display in this big cage thing, and that's the robot. And then during then when you see King Kong breaking out of the cage and the chains and everything, and that's the guy in the costume. But there's a shot with the robot just with his arms straight out and his hands turning, and it's just it's like, even as a kid, 1976 or whenever I saw that movie, I said, oh, that's the robot. Yeah, that doesn't look right. It's quick. It's over. The other stuff is great. I think it's fun. There's a moment in there where it's the horny Kong is checking out Jessica Lange. He's got her in his hand. He's got the hand. He's got his hand kind of brushing her boobs. Just a finger going across. Now, that is an animatronic arm. Huge animatronic arm, which is done really well. That thing is articulated really well. And it moves, it's on a crane or kind of something. So whoever's operating, it's got to be really careful moving that along Jessica's boobs. It makes one of them flop. You know, as a kid in 76, that was awesome. And at some point, the gorilla pulls the top off of her and you get a flash of her boobs. The look on King Kong's face is like, boobies. That's the look. I did it in sound. When you see it, it's like it's a leering, horny, giant gorilla, and it's hilarious. Anyway, yeah, I saw that article, I saw that poster, and I just wanted to bring it up. I'll put the poster on the show notes page so you can take a look, I'll see if I can grab a gorilla picture to show what it really looks like when they have their mouths open and fangs bearing and all that. It's just something weird about that mouth. But it works. It's an excellent illustration. It works. And the film is pretty good. It's a little silly. It's a little over the top in some places. And, you know, a horny gorilla. I mean, what's not to love? So check it out. It's King Kong from 1976-77. See if you can find it. It's worth watching. It's fun. And before I get out of here, I just noticed this. I was listening to my Spotify. Often what I'll do at night, you know, like 10 o'clock, I start getting tired, and I put music on my headphones, and I'll just kind of snooze, and then I wake up and go to bed, right? And I'll listen to music, and this was happening the other night, and I was, I wake up, and I'm hearing the song Cinnamon Girl by Neil Young and Crazy Horse. And I looked at my phone, and I see that, you know, yeah, it's Neil Young. I thought Neil Young took his music off of Spotify because Joe Rogan's podcast has all kinds of disinformation and misinformation about COVID and medical stuff, because Joe Rogan's an idiot. He's an idiot. I mean, he's not stupid, but he's an idiot. You know, he's clever, he's funny, he's got an entertaining podcast, I get. But if you get any information from that, if you take any information from that podcast, you may not be too bright. But here's the thing. I got in this little talk with one of my bosses. My boss listens to this podcast. And he says, he's arguing the personal responsibility thing. If you're dumb enough to take the information that he's talking, he's a stoner just talking about stuff. And he says it multiple times. Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. That guy, he says it all the time. And I, you know, so if somebody's taking medical advice from this guy, they're an asshole. And I said, yeah, but you've got you're getting downloads like, what, 200 million downloads a month? You are mainstream media. Joe Rogan is mainstream media. He's got 200 million downloads a month, right? I think that's what it is. He should bear some responsibility that if you're giving out medical information, that it should be correct. If you're giving out any kind of information, it should be correct. And we did get to see a little bit of some bias that he seems to have. He and his cohorts on the show and guests on the show were going on about Joe Biden being old and the Democrats have to find somebody else because Joe Biden was talking about airports during the Revolutionary War. This is terrible. This is awful. And then one of his podcast producers, one of Joe's producers, comes on and says, "Well, actually, he was making fun of Trump." Was he? Yeah, here's the clip of Trump talking. And then Trump's talking about what the colonial army did, you know, the Revolutionary Army did during during the Revolution, and you know, how the Valley Forge and how they, it was a tough winter and all that, but they protected the river and the airports. He said airports. So when Rogan sees that, suddenly it goes to from being... You would say, well, then this guy shouldn't be president. He's old, and he thinks there were airports back then? This is ridiculous. No, he just said, oh, obviously he misspoke. Okay. I see the double standard. Anyway, apparently Joe Rogan has now made certain that everything that he does on his show is vetted and true and accurate as can be, right? Because that's why Neil Young came back. Well, no. Neil Young came back because Joe Rogan is now not just exclusive to Spotify. He's on, he's on Apple, iTunes. He's on other platforms and Neil thought, well, I can't take my music off of every platform, so I'm going to go back onto Spotify and hopefully someday people will get the real experience of the music. He's another one of these things that the music doesn't sound like what they produce. And I thought, yeah, well, maybe, but it sounds good enough to me. Sounds pretty good to me. I don't know. I'm not one of those audiophiles. And then I thought, yeah, where was your music being played back in the day? On the radio. And if it was on AM stations, it was in mono. And you were doing stereo stuff. And I'm sure the radio stations had just this pure fidelity music coming out, even if it was mono. The FM stuff must have been pure. Come on. What are you talking about? I guess he does have a point that there are people buying vinyl now. Vinyl sales are going back up because people like vinyl, I guess. And so that's happening. So there's where they're going to get their high fidelity. Maybe they won't get it off of Spotify. But as far as I'm concerned, it's good enough for me. And good enough for me, right? It doesn't have to be, yeah, good enough for me, good enough for me.
Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Well, that's the end of another show. I wish that line would have, or the sounder would have played quicker so that my end line would have been more pithy. But, what can you do? You've been listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, reminding you to be skeptical and every extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. The answer is never magic. And to sleep with the lights off.
You can check out my show notes at dimland.com. Just click on the blog option, and you can email your questions and comments to drdim@dimland.com. That's drdim@dimland.com. And the opening theme song, Ram, is by Theolius and is used with permission.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
Well, I'm going to hell.